Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Talking sensitive subject of politics today.
Oh, boy.
But approaching it from this Lutheran Christian perspective. There's somebody else who does that, too. What? The Lutheran Witness. That's their slogan, too. I'm not trying to steal theirs. But looking at these matters, and before we went to break, Pastor Smith, you were talking about living in two realms. Some call it two kingdoms. You call it two realms. I've also heard of three realms or three estates as well. Just your elevator speech on understanding or this framework for two kingdoms, two realms, or three estates, and then go pick up with Kip where we left off with Kip before we.
Yeah, traditionally we talk about the two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right. The kingdom of the left being the civil kingdom, and the kingdom of the right being that of the church, governed by the gospel, and the left being governed by the law. The reason that I prefer two realms as opposed to two kingdoms, and this is kind of how I was taught and formed and shaped in seminary especially, is because I think we often make our mistake when we use language like two kingdoms to think that they're separate, that, you know, you have the kingdom that is governed here in the civil area, right? And then God has nothing to do with that. Whereas when you understand it's one kingdom, it's God's kingdom, and we believe and we assert that, you know, God's word governs everything that's in his kingdom in heaven and on earth, right? And so he definitely has things to say to the left-hand realm, and he governs in two realms, and he works through mass vocation. And so this is where the three estates plays in. You have the family, the church, and then the secular, you know, kind of civil realm outside of that and so forth. And you have, I mean, we could go on and talk about this, but you said elevator speech. But again, I think we make our big mistake when we think of it as two kingdoms, as if they're separate, and they don't have anything to do with one another, But when we understand it's one kingdom and it's governing in two realms, to kind of poorly summarize this, it might be like we have the federal government and then we have our state government. They have to work in concert to some level, and we're constantly trying to figure out how that works and so forth in the United States. But they can't not be completely separate. Otherwise, what you do is you have two separate nations, right?
Kip, I want to come back to the point you were making right before we went to break.
Well, the point I was trying to raise, excuse me, is that I've had to change my operation a little bit. Now, when I was in the secular media, for example, if I'm covering abortion, I will go out of my way to get both sides on that particular story. Now that I'm working for a religious media, we start with, to us, which is the truth. Life begins at conception, and abortion is wrong. So now, as a Lutheran journalist working for a Lutheran station, aiming at a Lutheran or at least a faith-based audience, I don't feel bound to give the other side on this, because we know what the truth is on this particular issue. On others, yeah, sure. There are other things that we can debate about, and I will do that. I will try to get both sides, but not on an issue like this, which is something that I would have done, you know, 10 years ago.
So I think there's so much to talk about, not enough time. How does this understanding, this Lutheran understanding of two kingdoms, how does that affect how we have conversations with people, especially if they're not coming from the same background as us, and even more so if we're on social media where people can be keyboard warriors and not really nice about it? How does that shape our understanding of how we approach people?
Well, I'm actually involved in a number of Facebook conversations with
people.
Yeah,
I've seen them.
But you will probably notice that I never attack personally the other person. I never use foul language. Another thing I always do on social media is I always use my own name. I'm not going to hide behind anonymity. If there's something I believe, then darn it, I'm going to put my name to it. But that's how I respond to it. Yeah, fine, let them call me whatever they want. I don't especially care. At least we're having a conversation.
I think it's good to remember the eighth commandment in this sense, right? That I not give false testimony against my neighbor, but that I also assume the best. And I can vehemently disagree with someone. And yet I can try to understand, well, just putting the best construction on it, I think that they probably have good motives for believing what they believe. And I want to try and understand what are those motives and how can I help lead them to an understanding of what we believe the truth to be, formed and shaped by God's word, right? And so when you come at it from that perspective, and I obviously don't do it perfectly, I too am a sinner, but you know, when you come at it from that perspective, putting the best construction on it, you're understanding, okay, they desire the best here. And I think I'll probably go to as an example, something like the immigration issue, right? You know, I think that there are good motives on both sides. And I think we get a little too polarized on that, that we forget that the other side does care about laws. And then the other side from them does care about, you know, our immigrant neighbors and the poor and how, you know, and so how can we, again, in a matter of prudential judgment, work out what's the best way to make this work and just do away with the notion that there's going to be perfection found. We're going to strive towards the good, but we can't find perfection. And then at the same time, though, too, with the abortion issue, I think that we have lost as the church. That's a matter of intrinsic evil. That's murder. Yeah. There's another commandment about that, right? And so we have lost the ability as the church in the secular realm, in the civil realm, right, to come out and say, thus saith the Lord. We're afraid to do it. And we really need to be doing it as the church. We need to come out as the prophets and apostles of old and say, thus saith the Lord, right? I speak in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says that this is evil. Right. And this is not a matter of figuring out what's the best way to handle this. No, I mean, there's, you know, related issues that tie into that. But we need to recover that. But then in the matters of prudential judgment, that the gospel not be lost, we understand and assume the best about our neighbor and assume that they desire good as well. And then we work with them to figure out what's the best way. And then this is where Romans 13 and lots of other scripture plays in as well, writing to Timothy, Pastor Timothy. You know, St. Paul encourages, pray for those in authority, right?
We are all out of time.
That was way too fast.
Darned, we're having fun.
Well, thank you all for the insightful conversation, the meaningful conversation, and for not tearing each other's eyes out while talking about it. We can do this civilly.
Because we love each other.
That's right.
And we have coffee.
Now, you take away the coffee, there's going to be trouble.
You're listening to Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Goldseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.